Let's pray. Father, we pray now as we go into this session, you'll open our hearts to the Word and the Word to our hearts, that you'll guide us in our discussion together. And may we take away what you would have us learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Our basic format, I'm going to give you some little information here that I have on these notes. And a little background of biblical follow-up. And then we will have a little role play on how to get a babe started. And some suggestions of how to go about it. And at any time, while your input and your questions, your contribution will be appreciated. Definition of follow-up, conserving the fruits of evangelism. I've been a Christian long enough that I remember when follow-up was not in our Christian vocabulary. It's not all that old, really, the word follow-up. Of course, follow-up is not a biblical word. I don't think follow-up is in the Bible. But we use follow-up, meaning the care of spiritual babes or conserving the fruits of evangelism. But Doris Trotman was a man who gave us the word and put it into Christian vocabulary. There's an interesting passage in Proverbs 11:30. You might want to look at that, Proverbs 11:30. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. It's a very interesting verse. Let's analyze a little bit. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. What is the fruit of the righteous? Class, answer me.
Tree
of life. Mm-hmm. Usually you think of fruit of a tree being a piece of fruit. Fruit of an apple tree being an apple. But this particular fruit is a tree. And what does a tree do? Class?
Grows.
Produces fruit. And what does fruit do? Produces trees. And what does trees do? Fruit. And what does fruit do?
Trees.
Interesting, isn't it? You take a peach. I realize this in the modern horticulture, we don't follow this. But you take a peach, you see, and plant it. You just plant the whole peach. And then the meat around that seed becomes decayed and fertilizer for that peach to grow. And it grows. And that peach produces a tree. And that tree produces fruit, which produces other peaches, which produces other trees. So really we could say this peach produces an orchard. Doesn't it? See, it's an orchard because this one peach made a tree and that made a lot of peaches and we took those peaches and planted and made us an orchard. So the fruit of the righteous is an orchard. Look at Genesis 24:60. Someone read it. First one, find it. Genesis 24:60. What we're doing is whetting your appetite a little bit. We'll follow up. I'm showing you how it fits in. Genesis 24:60. Read it.
And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the gates of their enemies."
Yes. King James says, thousands of millions. Thousands upon thousands. Rebecca. All the Jews that's ever been born came from Rebecca. One person. Interesting, isn't it? Hitler was supposed to have murdered 6 million. They think it's closer to 7 million now. About a third of the Jewish population on earth. Doris Trotman used to give illustration when Abraham was on Mount Moriah and coming down on Isaac. And the angel, the Lord said, stay thine hand. If old Hitler could have been there and plunged it down, he'd have got every Jew just like that. Every one of them. God would have to have taken Isaac and raised him from the dead. You know? The peace rose. Came from one rose. And then, you know, pieces, pieces. Now millions and millions and millions of peace roses. Fruit of the righteous is a tree. The very, very important. One person. For by one man's disobedience, many will be made sinners. So by one man's obedience shall many be made righteous. My Bible teacher, J. Oswald Saunders, she shares with us, you can't overestimate the value of one person. One person. Isaiah 63:61-3, to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the garment of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. See, God wants you and me to be trees. Trees. So that we'll have much fruit. And this fruit might not just be a single piece of fruit, but this fruit might be a tree. Follow-up is providing spiritual parental care for spiritual babes. Feed, protect, and train. Little baby is born and needs protection from all the myriads of germs in the world. Needs to be fed. Needs to be loved. Needs to be I've heard it said, our doctor friends can bear this out, that sometimes babies can suffer and even die for lack of love. Would that be correct? I mean, they can have plenty of food and they can be warm. And of course, in orphanages, they just don't have enough nurses to go around and pick them up and cuddle them, see? So it is with spiritual babes. They need someone to talk to. They need concern. We tell them, well, come to church. Well, it can be mighty cold in church. They don't know anybody, you know. Necessarily in some nurture group. Our concern this afternoon has to do primarily with individual follow-up. Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. 1 Corinthians 4:15, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. Many fathers. Why follow up? So that people can glorify God. We have a little saying, you know, save to serve. We sing a little song, save to serve, save to serve. You know? Well, it's a cute little song. But doctrinally, I don't think the Bible will back it up, really. We're saved to glorify God. Service is just a privilege that we have as being part of His family. 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you may walk worthy of the Lord of God, who hath called you unto his eternal glory, unto his kingdom and glory. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Many of you have big kids, well, as little kids. And it's so happy when a baby's born, isn't it? Baby's born in the family. Oh, have you heard about a baby? But you know, when this kid gets up, teenager, bigger, adult, we feel entirely different about this child. If he or she is walking in the faith and a good citizen, we're mighty proud. Much prouder than we were when the little baby was born. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And when this child is walking in disobedience, when you have a disobedient child, disobedient teenager, disobedient adult, what have you, there's nothing that describes it quite like it is. When Dr. Jerry White describes disobedience in the family, disobedient child, as to divorce and or death, he says three traumas, divorce, death, and disobedience. Disobedient children, disobedient teenagers, adults. He puts in the same category. Helen and I were in California back in April. We visited friends in Merced. Bob and Penny Cockrell in Merced. Bob is a retired insurance man. He's teaching Bible in Africa. Yeah. We had some other guests over. Their first name was Mac and B. They had one child, Mac and B. The day we were there was their 50th wedding anniversary. They had a son, only one child, 41 years old. They hadn't heard from him in a long time, many, many months. They thought he was in Denver. And they kept saying, we thought he might call today. Maybe he will. It's our 50th. Boy, it almost broke Helen and me up, you know. Almost broke us up. All the cotton picker had to do was go to the phone and call. He didn't have to say, I'm coming home, I'm hitting the sawdust trail. All he had to do was call them old people to make their day. And they were dying of a broken heart. Maybe you'll call today. Whew. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Isn't that something? Well, look, if this means so much to you and me, and it does, how much does it mean to our Heavenly Father when He's given His only begotten Son that these people might be saved, and this person has put their faith in Christ and there's no one down there to help them, no one to guide them, no one to say, hey man, I'll meet you tomorrow morning at McDonald's, we'll have a cup of coffee and a biscuit and go over a verse. You'll do it. You really will. You know? That's what it's all about. Why? Because in that day, Ephesians 2:7, you want to put this on your future if you don't have it already, that in ages to come He might show what the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He's going to parade us in ages to come to show what He is able to do through Jesus. Remember Job? The angel was appearing before God, and the devil showed up, and he said, where you been? He says, I've been down on earth watching how things going on. He said, you see my boy Job? He said, oh yeah, I see him. He said, he's a good boy. No one like him in all the earth. He's upright. He turns away from evil. He does good. The devil said, man, for the wages you're paying that boy, no wonder he's a good boy. You take away those wages, he'll turn his back on you. He tells the angels, he says, all right, angels, pull back. Let him have his goods. So they pulled back and took his goods. Later on, angels were appearing before God. The devil showed up. He said, where you been? He said, I've been down on earth watching how things going. He said, you seen my boy Job lately? He said, of course I've seen him. He says, he's a good man. No one like him. Boy, he eschews evil and goes after good. Turns away from evil. He said, of course. You touch his body, you spit in your face. He says, all right, angels, pull back. Let him have his health, but not his life. By the way, the devil never even admitted, the first defeat. God wanted to show to the devil and to the world, to you and me, what he could do through Job, a man that would stay true to God. See? And that's what he's doing through you and me now. He is building himself a church that in ages to come, He might show what exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:7. And in that day, we'll be paraded. All right. That's what God's doing. All right. Our job and privilege, my job and yours, is to help Him do what He's doing. Of course, He has no one to do it but you and me. So He wants us to help. See? My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, to Christ be formed in you. God always uses a man, a woman. He doesn't use angels, or He uses them sometimes to take the odd message, you know. Sometimes He uses them to string a little fire and brimstone around, like Sodom and Gomorrah. But that He doesn't use angels for the messages like He uses you and me. Because angels hadn't been redeemed. We've been redeemed. And so He uses us to share His message. And He uses us to look after His little children. What happens to converts? What happens to converts is what we cause to happen. You know, Sometimes in our church, on the odd occasion, we have baby dedicating. Sorry to say baby decoration, but baby dedicating. And we bring the babies, you know, and the pastor, you know, blesses them. Sometimes they, churches they baptize them, but our church they blesses them, you know, dedication. Actually, it's dedication to the parents, isn't it? Because the kid don't know anything about it. You know, the kid just got a gang. I'd go, yeah, too, if the pastor's old, cold, clammy hand comes out of me. You know. And we say, you know, I dedicated my child to God. You know, now dedicated him, but I've given to God. Old Doss Trotman used to have a little skit, kind of, you know. He said, can't you imagine God looking over the perimeter of heaven? You know, we're down there dedicating all these babies to God. And he said, hey, kid. Hey, kid. Hey, look. Hey, gang, look. Hey. You got it all wrong. You're not giving the kid to me. I give him to you. I'm not going to change the kid. I'm not going to doctor him at night. I'm not going to walk the floor with him. I'm going to feed him. I'm going to educate him. You're going to educate him. He's your kid. I give him to you. Now look after him. And that's what he has done to his church, to Babes in Christ. He's given them you and me to look after. See? And every child is supposed to have a mom and a daddy. And you know and I know that in our society, whether they just have a mama or just have a daddy, and then not all of a mama and all of a daddy, they put them in a nurse's home or daycare, what have you. Regardless of the reason for that, we know that the children in our society is going to pay a price for that, regardless of why it happens. We know it's going to pay a price because God has ordained it, that you have a mama and a daddy. And those of you who do have mamas and daddies, and those of you who are two together and you've got children, you wonder sometimes if you don't need two mamas and two daddies. Yeah, I enlist all the prayer I can get and all the help I can get. And Helen and I are both in good health and good shape, see? And we still don't know if we can do it, you know, pull it off. So it is with a spiritual babe. This spiritual babe needs to be looked after. He needs to be protected. He needs to be cared for. He needs just somebody to have a personal interest in him or in her. And it's God's ordained plan. And you know, if a child is born into this world, a physical child, and this child is an imbecile or an idiot or hurt in some way, we know what a heartache and a burden. Of course, many times it's such a spiritual blessing to us because of what God sees to do through this in our life. All right. In spiritual follow-up, we want to represent what we want these people to be and to do. We want to set the pace. We want to be the daddy, the mom. We want them to see in us what God can do in their life. We want them to see God's grace in us. I'm going to leave that a little bit. A lot of time we say, well, look, I'm no example. I am an example. Example of good? No, I'm an example of God's grace. You ought to see what God's done here, mate. If you want to rejoice, it will make you happy. You ought to praise God when you see what he's done here. Knowing what he had to work with, what he's done here, you can give all the glory and praise to God. And you can tell a babe in Christ, if you don't believe God's wonderful and gracious, you just look at old John Crawford, what he's done for him. And he'll praise God. You see, sometimes we misconstrue. Well, I don't want people to look at me. You know, well, that's the flesh. I do want them to look at me. I want them to see what a miracle God has performed in me. And it's really tremendous. And he can do that for any fella and for any girl. So as I get together with a babe in Christ, then we want to represent what we want them to be. Okay, and then we want to tell why, show how, get them started, keep them going. Mike, I'm supposed to look at that, and when the 45 minutes are up, and the 45 minutes will be up in about 20 minutes. So when you see that back there, or needles or something, I don't know what you're going to see. Anyway, you're supposed to turn that over. We'll turn it over sometime. All right. You got any questions up to now? We're going to change tempo just a little bit. No questions? What we're going to do is we're going to do a little role play. And I'm going to choose a couple of you that are newly converted, see? And I'm going to choose one that I've been working with for a while. And so we can do a little role play, okay? And I'll put this right this way and spill the coffee just right there, see? So, Sally and Valerie, and we'll let you guys be babes in Christ, okay? And if you want to bring your chair and just sit right there, and Mike, why don't you be? Usually this is of the same sex, but we're going to, pardon me, lady. Oh, yes, I need some volunteers, too. If you'll give each person one of these. Thank you. I wrote on one while ago. If you get that one, why I'll take it back. Look on page. That's it. Okay, I'll exchange with you. All right. Okay, Mike. If you'll just have a seat right here. Has this been written into?
No, thanks, sir.
That's just an extra one. All right. Now then, these can be fellows or girls, actually, really. But usually we just follow up on the same species. Let's see, Mike, if you want to slip your chair just a little bit back like that. All right, now this, see, Mike and I have been working together for some bit now, and we've been meeting man to man, and he's already been through this, see. So what we're doing now, we're meeting with a couple of fellas who just came to know the Lord, and by circumstances, it's convenient that we meet the four of us in this particular case. But what I want to do is set up where Mike can meet man-to-man and we can meet man-to-man, see? So, but this is one of the first things that we do. No preparation. We just hand out books, got pencils, and so we'll begin to do study. No preparation at all, see? Just warm body stroke. So let's turn to page 10, since I did page 9 in the other class. How about that? On shirts. So Sally, if you will start reading in assurance, if you'll read out loud that first paragraph.
Having assurance means being certain in mind with a freedom from doubt. One of Satan's tricks is to cause believers to doubt their salvation. Meditate on the following scriptures to enable you to have victory over your doubts.
Okay, Val. Next paragraph.
Circle key words or phrases in the following scriptures. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, Ephesians 1:7.
Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, 1 Peter 1:5.
I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 8:38-39.
John?
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. John 10:27-29.
These things I have written to you who believe in the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13.
And I am confident of this very thing, that he who hath done a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go back over here. And Mike, you take the first one. It says, circle key words or phrases in the following scripture. So take Ephesians 1:7, and what would be a key word or phrase in that?
All right, I'd say one of the key words is redemption.
Redemption, okay. You got a pencil like that? Okay, use that pen.
His blood.
His blood, okay.
Forgiveness of sins.
Forgiveness of sins. Good.
And riches of his grace.
Riches of his grace. Okay, Sally? First Peter 1:5.
Okay. I would say power of God.
Power of God.
Faith.
Faith.
Salvation.
Salvation. Okay. Good. Okay, Val. Just read it if you want to. Yeah, well.
All of them. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, and then can separate us from the love of God.
What would be your key words?
Convinced.
Convinced, okay.
Nor any created thing, just all of them, but nothing.
Nothing, okay.
Nothing.
Or any created thing, okay.
And then she'll be able to separate us.
Okay. You want that phrase there? Shall be ever separate us?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. All right. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Okay. Hear my voice. I say, okay. Hear, know, follow, never perish, snatch, given, okay?
In 1 John 5:13, these things who believe that you may know, or the word know
okay.
Would be fine.
All right.
And eternal life.
Eternal life. Okay.
Confident. Good work. Perfect.
Good work. Perfect. Okay. Okay, what do we learn about assurance of salvation? Answer briefly. Okay. Valerie, what do we learn about assurance of salvation, just in a word or two, in Ephesians 1:7?
We have redemption.
We have redemption. Okay.
Because of Christ's blood.
Okay, we have redemption.
And that we have forgiveness of sin through his riches of grace.
I'm just going to put on, we have redemption. Redemption. Okay. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith, and salvation ready to be revealed the last time. Okay, I'm going to put down what we learned about our salvation. We're kept. Okay, Mike.
What we learned in Romans 8:38 is that nothing can separate.
Nothing can separate. Very, very good. Nothing can separate. Okay.
Okay, from Romans 8, 38 and 39. Whoops, sorry. John 10, 27, 29. That we have assurance of our eternal life, and no one can snatch us out of his God's hand.
Okay. Oh, one. Snatch us from God, huh? Okay. Well.
Because I believe, I can know that I have eternal life.
Okay. Because I believe, I can know. Because I believe, I can know. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform the day of Jesus Christ. God will continue to work. God will continue to work. Okay, let's take one of those verses now. Maybe we better take a short one, huh? Which one of those short ones you want to take, and we'll do a verse study? Choose one.
First John
5:13. All right, First John 5:13. Put that up there, 1 John 5:13. List two key words and define them. All right, in 1 John 5:13, what are two key words?
Believe.
Believe? Okay. And what's the other one?
No.
No. Believe and know. All right. What is a synonym or definition for the word believe? Class? Have faith? Have faith? All right. What else? Accept?
Trust.
Trust? Have faith, trust?
Confidence.
Yeah. Confidence? Yes?
Commit to.
Submit to? Commit to or submit to?
Commit to.
Commit to. Okay. No.
Assurance.
Assurance. All right? No.
Believe.
Believe.
No doubt.
No doubt. What else? No.
Confidence.
Okay. What does the verse say? All right. Let's analyze and rewrite the verse in our own words. What does it say? 1 John 5, 13. These things I have written unto you that believe in the Son of God. How would we say that?
You who have received Christ.
Truth that I have committed to you that receive Christ. Okay, these things I've written, okay. Truth that I've committed you that see Christ. How would you say the rest of it? In order that you may know that you have eternal life. So that you'll have no doubt about eternal life. All right? So that you will have no doubt about eternal life. Good. Valerie, you want to read what you have written?
The truth that I have committed to you who believe Christ, so that you may not have any doubts about eternal life.
Good. Okay, Val, what does it say to me? What benefit, what truth, what encouragement can you get from this verse?
I can know that because I've committed my life to Christ and I believe on Him, that I don't have to doubt about my salvation.
Good. Sally?
Well, that I should be able to be confident and assured about my eternal life, not have to worry about it, but that Jesus has written the truth so that I could have assurance and confidence about this truth.
Good. Right?
That I could live freely today and really be free. And the knowledge that He has taken care of my salvation.
Very good. Okay, just keep your seat. Now, I would have had each of those, we'd have had to write that down, their little application. Okay, class, what did you learn? What did we do?
How to break down a verse.
How to break down a verse, right. What else? How to apply it. Application, right. What else? What did we do?
How to lead a small Bible study.
How to lead a small Bible study, right. What else?
How to teach new Christians to meditate on the Word of God.
To meditate out loud. Mm-hmm.
And to share with each other.
Very good. Share with each other. Interaction. Okay, what else? It's not as hard as it sounds. I tell you, you'll say it again. Say it again.
It's not as hard as it sounds.
That's right. It's not hard as it sounds. Now, we did something very significant here that's very necessary. It might be so simple you overlooked it. We stayed in the Scriptures. We wallowed around in the Scriptures. We were going back and forth in the Scriptures. We talked about the Scriptures. We read and reread the Scriptures. We marked verses around the Scriptures. We marked the key words around the Scriptures. We didn't get into arguing about which was the key words. But we just talked about the Scriptures and talked about the Scriptures and back and forth the Scriptures. What do you think? And what do you think? See? See? The Bible is food. We weren't worried about just how it was prepared, or if it was, quick service foods, fast foods or slow foods, but we were just trying to get some food. Okay? What else did you learn? Any questions at all?
I think one of the key things, too, is you take the new Christian feels they have something to offer, mm-hmm. not just to give, that they had, that they contributed.
Very good. Very good.
You went through
right through it with them. That's right. Now, you notice that we didn't do any preliminary work. This wasn't, it just so happened in this particular class, this particular design. This is the way I do it. This is exactly the way I do it. With the exception that I might do it man to man, as a rule, it's man to man. But if it were two, or four, see? But no preparation in the outset. Why?
They don't know how.
Go to the head of the class. They don't know how. And I can tell them how, but will that let them know how? Why? Telling is not teaching. Listening is not learning. See, I tell them how. That is not follow up. What did I do today? Showed them how. They learn by example. Example is not a good way to teach. It's what?
The only way
to teach. Yes?
Like my mom was telling me today about fishing. Someone can explain it to you, but you don't really understand until you do it.
Exactly, exactly right. I bet you like to fish too, don't you? I do too. I do too. And it seems so simple, and it is really. So you get involved with them. And I use this actual bona fide little Bible study now. Since the crusade I do. Since last October I use this little book. Before that I use another little book. Okay? So I use this little book. And I just go through it with them, and I just start right here on salvation. On the first, I just start with salvation. We just fill it out, We talk about it. Then I go, next time I do the next one, next time the next one, next time the next one, next time the next one. I'm interested in getting the Bible through the babe as well as the babe through the Bible. See? Knowledge is important, but I'm interested in more than knowledge. You know, folks, when I was converted, I didn't get any new knowledge. None at all. Not one bit of new knowledge. But a long time before I was converted, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was the Son of God. I had no doubt in my mind that the Bible was the inspired Word of God. I had no doubt in my mind He had died and buried and rose again. And was one day coming again. I just never appropriated. My will had never committed, was never committed to God. See? So knowledge is important, but we're more than a room application. Any other questions at all? Comment. No question? Yes, ma'am.
Would you do any ethnic thing with him, like pray or...
Yes, we would pray. A very simple prayer with him. Yeah, very simple prayer.
Would you have them pray too, or just you?
Yes. But I would almost put words in their mouth. Like, the first time I would pray, I said, Father, thank you that we can do Bible study together and that we have an open Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. And then you find him praying like you pray. Very just straight, simple prayer. Not way off into the bush, and theological, but just straight, simple prayer. See? And then get him or her. The main thing about keeping people to pray is just getting them to open their mouth and say anything out loud. Yes?
This is a real short study. Do you just go through one topic with them each time and pray and then go, or do you try to...
Okay. The first time, yes. Now... People who come to Christ with a church background, thank you. That's right, we need to change, flip it over and change it anyway. People who come to Christ with a church background know something about... Is it light on? How about that? Light? Okay, well, something's on. People who come to Christ with a church background know a little bit more about the Bible, knowledge-wise, than people who come to Christ without a church background. So you'd have to make a value decision. Now, your concern is what? What is your basic objective regarding this? What is the basic objective? To get them in the Word and get the Word through them. Not to get to them through quantities of the Word. Uh-huh. But to get the Word through them. If you, later when they go to theological college, you're going to become a missionary or a preacher, then they want to get through the Word. Uh-huh. But now they want to get the Word through them. So you'd have to make a value decision. See? Value decision on how much they could take. Yes?
Don't you want to spend some time covering them, nurturing them, making sure that...
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yes, that's exactly right. You want to spend time in fellowship or with their problem and letting them talk. Now, but you can go faster than one a day or one a week. You can go faster if you want. The Lord was good to me in New Zealand in giving me some babes in Christ early on in the piece. My hunting mate, Bruce Ross, came to Christ when I was on furlough, 1974. And we got underway, and we were in book three of the Studies in Christian Living. And then our former pastor had a commission in the Army as a chaplain, and New Zealand's Army as kind of a summertime, wartime, play war, you know, militia bit. And he was an evangelist, so he led some fellows to Christ during the summertime, these civilian soldiers. One chap was a Maori, Polynesian man, fine fellow, Willie Tata. He sent word back to Bruce and to me to follow him up. And so Bruce knocked on his door and he said, "Willie, I'm Bruce Ross. A pastor sent word that you'd come to know the Lord." And he said, "Yes, I have." So we chatted a bit, and he said, "Willie, I get together with an American chap, and we do a Bible study, and he's helping me quite a bit, and we're going through this, and we'd like to have you join us." And Willie said, "Well, that's encouraging, really. It sounds good." He says, "How much does he charge?" Yeah, if he's going to give us private tutoring and lectures, you know, must be some charge. See, he had no background at all. He was a real nice guy, a real great big handsome chap. And we were getting underway and waxing eloquent in the scriptures, and I kept saying the New Testament and so on, and trying to explain and getting away in the first lesson. And he said, "John, pardon me," he said, you keep mentioning New Testament. You mention that over and over." He says, "Evidently there's an Old Testament." I said, "Yes, there is, actually. There's New Testament and Old Testament." And I said, "Willie, you see, the Bible primarily is divided into two parts." I said, "Really, Willie? The Bible, this is more than a book. We call it a book, but actually it's a library. There's some 66 books." And I brought along a book for Willie, a Bible. And I said, "See, this is the New Testament and Old Testament. And these books here are written by different authors here. And they're chronological, and then they're alphabetical. And the big dividing in the book is Jesus, Old Testament before Jesus, New Testament since Jesus." And he thought that was all right, really. That's a good place to divide it. You know, got to divide it someplace. And I said, "Well, you see the calendar on the wall. Every calendar testifies Jesus was born. It's so many years since the birth of Jesus. So every date, every time you look at the date, testifies that Jesus was born." "Yeah, that is right. That is right." So we're down and we started that. Well, obviously, with a chap like that, You don't want to go too fast, you know. You know. So it was on first lesson, first question. One of the first questions was, where was Jesus born? And the answer is in Bethlehem of Judea. And I asked the fellows, they both could read well in high school. And one was they both had good jobs and fine fellows. I said, wonder, you have any idea why they put such a simple question? I said, I know the chap who put this together, Warren Myers. He's a missionary now over in Asia. I said, do you have any idea why he put such a simple question? Where was Jesus born? In an adult Bible study? They said, well, guess he's got to be born someplace. I said, that's exactly the reason. Where's Bethlehem of Judea? Well, it's over in the Middle East. Is it there today? Of course. It's on news all the time, really. Could we find it on a map? Well, of course, John. Then there really was a place. Yeah. Has you ever heard of a man by the name of Alexander the Great? Oh, yeah. How'd you hear about him? Well, I read about him in school in the library. As you know, Alexander the Great passed all the scenes 300 years before this man was born. We've got more evidence this man was born, lived, died, and rose again than we are that Alexander the Great ever got here. Much more evidence. Hey, that's great. He really was born. It's not a myth. It's not a book of fairy tales. You wait till I get back out to the abattoir. See, they were all excited about the fact that Jesus was real. And the guys at the abattoir, the meatworks, and out at the truck yard, you know, they get to talking about religion and testifying. Well, it's a bunch of fairy tales. It's not really real. And they had something that was real. So I start off and try to get them excited about the basic elementary truths of the Scripture. Well, Willie used to run a dirt mover. Great big fella, and he was a dirt mover. And I'm going to use you girls just a minute. He used to run it. We've got 15 minutes. And he'd pray up there while his dirt moving was, while his big diesel was throttling, you know, and waiting for the, you know, to move around with the trucks and so on. He'd be praying. One time his boss coming up by, he looked at us and said, Willie! He said, yeah. You know, you're talking to somebody, but I don't see anybody ever. Who is it? Willie said, yeah, I'm talking to him. He's sitting right here, man. Beautiful, really, really beautiful. Babes in Christ. Any other questions?
When do you start on Scripture?
I'm sorry?
When do you start on
Right now. Remember? Right now. This is the next phase of the programming.
John?
Yes, sir?
Before you get into something else, is there any way to encourage someone that does not want to be into a study?
Not that I know of. However, let's check on their birth. They may not be saved. They may not be saved. So let's check on being sure that they're born again. Now,
what if you ask them and they say yes?
Well, I don't know what you can do. But, you know, I've been talking about that, and Helen and I talk about that. My wife and I have some wonderful theological discussions. Because we know a lot of folks who say yes, but you read 1 John chapter 2, and their lives don't stack up. So I have to go by 1 John chapter 2. And we also know that Jesus, he says, why call you me Lord, Lord, do not the things which I say? They said, do know what you say. Well, we've been casting out devils right here in these streets. We did mighty great works right here in these streets. He said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Isn't that something? So you got a lot of religiosity around, but sometimes, you see. By the way, I think through experience we can learn how to avoid attrition and how to get live ones. See? How to get live ones.
Well, we're still not cast back to dead fish. But, you know, well, if there was some way, this is, you know,
Yes.
How to get them to go on, or how to get them started, or how to,
Well, I do that. I try to do that through fellowship and through getting to know them, you know, and a friendship, see. Now, but you can learn. You can learn. I've talked to a lot of folks, and I've looked at them and said, you know, I really doubt your salvation. I really doubt if you really know him, you know. And you just look at him and tell him that. Say, if I'm wrong, boy, I'm going to be the happiest guy in the world if I'm wrong. But from all evidence. Now, you tell me. You really think you're born again? You know, yeah, I think I'm born again. Well, look, how you going to stack up with this? And you just go right down. See, you might lose him, but you've lost him anyway. Really? I've had experience with people who made as if they were converted but wasn't following God, and later they would admit they were sham. Really, but, you know. But there are enough live ones out there to keep us busy. This old boy said you can't please all the people all the time, but you can please part of the people part time, and that's enough to make a good living. We've got about 12 minutes. I want to go through with the memory work with you. And now I do the same thing. Let me labor a point, okay? Babies need the same thing. King Tut, babies need the same thing. Yes, but we got a gross national project now. Gross national product, it doesn't even resemble that. It doesn't have anything to do with babies. Babies need the same thing. Yes, but we're more educated now. Babies need the same thing. Yes, but we got good medicine. Babies need the same thing. I don't know. But we got 15,000 members in the first Dr. Criswell Church in Dallas. Babies need... It makes no difference about babies. How many Dr. Criswell has? Babies, you know, bang, 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 bang. People don't realize that babies need the same thing when Grandma was born and when King Tut was born. Spiritual babies need the same thing. The Bible don't change. God don't change. For every day, see? All right. So I do the same thing, been doing the same thing for 40 years. 40 years. I get them in the Word like that. 40 years. 40 years ago, got them in the Word. See? 40 years, let's see. Now, what is it, 84, 44? Yeah. About 40 years ago, the Lord gave me my first baby. It's the same thing. You want to pass these out? Questions while we're passing out? We're all passing out now. Thank you. Everybody got one? All right. Now then, what I would do, I'll tell you what, Sally, we'll let you slip over. And Val and I, now then, if we were in groups of four, now then is when we would break up in groups of two. Or if we were in six, we would still break up in groups of two. And we would have memory work man-to-man. Or, by and large, most of my work is man-to-man anyway. I only put people in groups is when I get too many. If I have three people, I'll meet with them three times during the week, one-on-one. It's only when I get more than three. Now, there are the odd occasion when you have a timid person or two that you just couldn't meet man-to-man, see? But most of mine is man-to-man. Most of mine is one-on-one, see? You know? And so, as Val and I, we would start like this. So, Val, you start reading on page one.
Jesus Christ said, "Here am I. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go in and eat with him, and he with me." Revelation 3:20. Coupled with this wonderful truth is the statement in the Gospel of John that to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
Okay, I'll take a paragraph. If you have, to the best of your knowledge, received Jesus Christ, God's Son, as your own Savior, according to the Scriptures quoted above, you have become a child of God in whom Jesus Christ dwells.
Too many people make the mistake of measuring the certainty of their salvation by their feelings. Don't make this tragic mistake.
Believe God. Take Him at His word. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life.
It is impossible in this short space to go into all the results of the transaction that took place when you received Christ, but you will learn some vitally important facts.
Okay, now we go right on through that. We read every bit of this. See, I've got plenty of time. Why do I have plenty of time? What am I trying to do? Get the word into her, see? Not get her through the word, but get the word into her. I got plenty of time. I got all the time there is, really. We just wallow around in here. And this is where your cuddling comes in. This is where your love comes in. I'd break into here. I would break in here with, well, now as far as you know, in this first paragraph, as far as you know, have you done this? You see? You'd say, yes, really, John, as far as I know, I have committed my life to Christ. I receive it. Good. Okay, we just go back and forth. That was when I'd stop, and I'd ask a question, and then pretty soon she'd stop and ask a question. See, she'd do like I do, you know. Monkey see, monkey do, you know. And so we would get through this. Okay, we just go right on. No problem, no problem. Yes?
Would you do this at the same time you were doing this?
If time would permit. If it took too much time on the book, then we would pick up this on the next time.
What if they feel overwhelmed by the amount of things you want them to do?
They wouldn't. I'd have the sensitivity, they wouldn't. Because if they do, they regurgitate like a little wee baby. See? Need burping. See? Now with the guys, and with military guys, it's so wonderful. See, with military guys, boy, we hit it hard. Then we go play volleyball. Then we go play soccer and so on. See, you know? And I'm telling you, it's great. Or like last night, after I laid the hard word on the kids down at Norman, you know, and then they went for a hayride. See, of course, I went home into bed. You know? But with young people, you have activities going, and you just kind of work off the steam, and you can really go fast because they're active, you see, and then they do Tuesday activities, and you come back and get the word again, and Tuesday activities, and come back and get the word again. You're making a lot of practice, a lot of progress. Okay? Any other questions?
Do you have a recommended time
that on
your Bible?
Yes, I have recommended time because the kids have got to get back to the studies, or if it's a married man, he's got to get back home. And I know he's enjoying the fellowship so good, he'll just stay on and on and on and on, see? Particularly if you break out the goodies in the coffee, man, he'll just fellowship on, you see? But I also know that he'll feel bad the next morning getting off to work, and pretty soon he'll say, I just can't come Bible study because he won't say I can't come. The reason he can't come is that I can't break away. That's when he can't come. But he'll say something's come up. So I purposely scoot him off. Early on in the piece, a reasonably short period of time, 40 minutes or so. But later on, well, of course, you'll want an hour and a half or so. Because you want to get them to talk and express themselves and share what they got out of the Word. And we're just starting now. We're not starting in quiet time or anything. We're just starting. Okay? Now then, we get over, Val, take Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Okay, read that out loud with the verse 4 and F.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Now, Val, look at the first phrase and say the reference. Say Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Concentrate on that and put your eyes on it and say it out loud.
Reading it.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding.
Okay, say it again, looking at it with your eyes on.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding.
Okay, now look up and say it.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding.
Okay, now look back and say the second phrase.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Say it again.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Okay. Now then, read the whole verse.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Okay, look up now and say it, verse 4 and a half, and quote it.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Okay. Now, of course, Val perhaps knew that right before we start. But the babe quotes a verse before he leaves you the first time, if at all possible. And the second time he leaves you, he quotes the second verse. And the third time he leaves you, he quotes the third verse. And the fourth time he leaves you, he quotes the fourth verse, and so on. You ensure that you get the word into him. And the only way you ensure it is he quotes it out loud. Questions?
Are you teaching him that verse there, or are you giving it to him a week ahead of time?
No, I'm doing it right now. Right now, just as cold as we are right now. Just cold turkey, just like that. And you can do all kinds of things. Years ago, as I got out of the fleet, we were told not to work with girls and things like that. And of course, we weren't, but I was real old. I was about 25, And these little girls were in college there, and they wanted help in San Francisco State. So I remember two or three of them, and I'd meet them used to meet one for coffee. I'd buy her a cup of coffee. She'd buy me a cup of coffee. It was 6 cents in those days. And I would check her on her verses, I'd do a little follow-up. And later, I saw she meant business, and I got her into one of the girls' workers in San Francisco, and she married one of our fellows. They've done 30 years on the mission field, And it's just followed up just what we're doing. Just what we're doing. Several of them, picked up there in college. And so I remember I was transferred over to Armstrong School of Business in Berkeley. Went over there for a while. And I met a kid. I was preaching out at Youth for Christ one night. I was out in the country. I met this kid. He was in a quartet. Supposed to be a Christian. He wasn't really. But I found out he went to the same school. So we met him the next day at the Coke machine. And he was intrigued by quoting a scripture. And so I got him to start memorizing scripture. So we would have a Coke at the Coke machine. First guy there would draw the Cokes. And I'd come by, and I'd check him on two or three verses every day, and he'd check me on two or three verses every day. Every day, same time, the Coke machine, about 6-7 minutes between classes is all we had. But every day, every day. Then we would begin to get him working a little time on Saturday. As he began to warm up, he'd come over to the Nav home, and I'd follow up on him, and he went ahead with the Lord, married, businessman years later, But you can follow on people, but you have to have a few basic principles in mind. Get the word into them. And then you have to have a few basic skills. And you can improve these skills as time goes on. But I use these same things, and I've been using it. It isn't all that. I use the same little simple tools, Use a needle and a thread to sew on a button. And my grandmother, I used to watch my great-grandmother. My great-grandmother was a little girl during the Civil War. She used a needle and thread sewing. It didn't change all that much. Life don't change all that much.
On these booklets, do you use a different one with each student so that you can actually do it along with them as they're doing it?
I do it along with them as they do it to get them started.
So you have a different book with each student?
Just like we did today. Give out books. I take a fresh book, and I go through it with them just like we did. Just like we did. Exactly like we did. Keep asking. Keep talking. Because I may not be getting through. It's so obvious.
Well, what impressed me was that each person,
Yes.
But yet they were all right.
Yes.
And that was neat.
Yes.
That everybody was right.
Yes.
And they had their own thoughts about
that's
it.
That's right.
That's okay.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful, see?
That we were. Them more freedom to respond.
They were getting them into the Word, see?
And I wondered if you kept just one book for yourself and they glanced over and saw that you already had another word circled.
Yes.
They might.
They might. Yeah.
That they didn't pick the right word.
That's right.
That you did.
Now, as time goes on, obviously, we're going to give assignments. Obviously, I'm going to make students out of them. Obviously. But we're talking about beginning follow-up now. I do this for... I usually go along with this until some guy says, you know, John, we're going too slow, really. Boy, John, you know, if we did our homework ahead of time, we'd go a lot faster. That's an idea. What do you think? Yeah, why don't we do that? I think we're dragging our feet. Okay, fine by me. I'm in sure do. Well, let's do two for next week. All right, fine. Two for next week. Is that all right? And so we do two for next week. They taught me into it. You know, it's simple, really. Really. Because they really want to get ahead. But if I lay on them, all right now, two, if you don't get your work, don't show up, off with your head, I lose them. Okay, time's up. Thank you.